This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. My name is Will Doctor alongside Charlie Epps. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning as we give you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, what's the word, my friend?
The word is round one goes to the PGA Tour for the lawsuit that LIV Golf brought to the forefront, or the three players that thought that they deserved to play after giving up their rights when they signed a contract with a different tour. So it makes sense. The judge was very practical in her reasonings, and so it's going to be on to the next case.
Well said. Well said. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here, and so much work to do this morning. So many great topics to get to. And number one, you know, we'll discuss, just as Charlie said, the first battle, Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, Matt Jones, see you later. You know, you can't play the playoffs. You can't, you know, have, you can't, you know, if the grass was so much greener on the other side, you know, you can't come back to the PGA Tour. It's just the bottom line. We'll get more into that later on. Number two, we're going to briefly discuss 20-year-old Tom Kim's victory over Sung J.M. at the Wyndham Championship last week. And the timeline of young Tom Kim's success is so inspiring. You know, he went from a non-member to a full member on the PGA Tour in less than 5 weeks, Charlie.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. It was very reminiscent to the run that Spieth went on in 2013 that ended at the John Deere. We're going to get into more of that today. Number three, we're going to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs this week at the St. Jude Classic under the blazing sun of Memphis, Tennessee, where J.J. Spahn leads the way at 11-under, and 2022 PGA Tour winners like Tony Finau and Cam Smith are close behind at 9-under. And we're going to have Tim Schmidt on, editor of Golf Week, on the show to get a better feel of the playoffs and his perspective on the current state of the game. But Charlie, the leaderboard, it could be better. That's the bottom line. J.J. Spahn in first at 11-under, and T2 is Sepp Straka, Troy Merritt. You have to get down to T5 to see Brian Harman, Cam Smith, and Tony Finau.
Well, you just told me why, because of what happened to Rory McIlroy, which we're going to talk a little more.
McIlroy, Spieth, and a few other stars are out. Missed the cut this week in Memphis. We'll be right back. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome aboard to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number to get in here with the golf doctor and discuss the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. And here's the rundown for today's show. Number one, we're going to start by discussing how the first round of the LIV versus PGA Tour battle went in court this past Monday in San Jose, California. Then we will briefly review 20-year-old phenom Tom Kim's first PGA Tour title at the Wyndham Championship last week down in Sedgefield. And that will lead us into our conversation with Golf Week editor Tim Schmidt at 8:36 regarding the PGA Tour playoffs getting started in Memphis this week at the St. Jude. So just a few housekeeping reminders to get us started in the world of golf. As I just mentioned, the top 125 players on the PGA Tour money list begin the playoffs this week at the St. Jude. And then after this week, Charlie, only the top 70 players will advance to Delaware for the BMW. And then the playoffs will crescendo with the top 25 on the money list advancing to the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Charlie, over the years, the picture has changed a lot. What are your thoughts with how the playoffs have evolved over the years?
Well, it's all been trial and error. They came up with an idea like all of the NFL playoff games, the hockey. Every major sport has a playoff season. So golf has its four majors. Then they wanted to have you use the word crescendo, the Tour Championship you know, the FedEx Cup, millions of dollars, reward the players. It's evolving again, and I think they've messed up again. Because now the stars aren't going to be there. It looks like, I mean, before they had it set up to where if you finish in the top five, you're pretty much going to have a one of the top five win the FedEx Cup. Today, those guys might not be there.
You're right. You know, the amount of points on the line for the playoffs, they far exceed any regular season event. And I'll give you a little example here. Sepp Straka is in second place at 10 under. He did win the Honda Classic earlier this year. That's a great win. He started the week 36th on the money list. Now, the thing is, if he wins, he would move to second heading to Delaware.
Right.
Okay, and I'll give you one more here. 29-year-old Denny McCarthy is tied for second at 9 under. Now, Denny has had a solid year, you know, not discrediting him. He's made 20 cuts and 27 starts with five top tens. Mm. But he came into the week ranked 42nd on the money list. If he wins, he would jump to second. So, you know, I feel there might just be a little too much weight, but you're exactly right in the sense that the
way too much weight.
Way too much weight.
But I mean, it'd be like the Astros, if they lose the first game of the playoff, they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, Sean, didn't we see that last year in the NBA with this new playoff system? You had the Cavs with one of the best records in basketball losing to the Hawks, you know, who had lost 20 more games than them.
Yeah, the team with the higher record hosts the play-in game, and I think both teams – no, the Timberwolves won their home game, but yeah, the Cavs lost their home game.
So, Charlie, I think what they want, you know, is for the average sports fan at home to, you know, get this, you know, catch a huge interest in this. But I think the problem is here, you could have some of these top players start to move down when you get, Denny McCarthy coming and winning out of nowhere.
Well, when we're going to talk about the new Tom, look what this kid has done in a very short 4 to 6 weeks on the PGA Tour. He's one of the leading players.
That's right. Yeah, he went from unranked to number 35 in the standings in just a 5 week period. We're going to get to Tom Kim. We're going to get to the Wyndham Championship. You know, a few other notable names this week in the top 20 on the leaderboard that did not start the week inside the top 70. Remember, the top 70 will move on next week. Trey Mullinox is in the top 15. He was JT's roommate at Alabama. He won a couple weeks ago at the Barracuda, but started the week, in the top 70. At 70th on the money list. So he'll have to he's going to have to play well on the weekend to get himself into next week. Adam Scott.
Yes.
Former Masters champ is tied for 7th and is projected to move from 49th on the money list after starting the week 77th. Have you seen any of Adam Scott this week? What are your thoughts on his game?
Well, he is resilient. He can make a double bogey right at the wrong time, or he can make a triple bogey. But then, you know, he won a tournament one year making a quadruple bogey on a par 3, and he moves on, and watching him this weekend, he did a little of that, but he can make a lot of birdies. He still has a wonderful golf swing. He still hits a lot of great shots, and he's always in the ballgame.
What has been the key over the years that you've seen to Adam Scott's sweet swing and swing?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is putting the club on the golf ball the same way every time, and he sets up correctly. He has not changed it since he started with Butch Harmon, since the days in Las Vegas. He stayed consistent. He had to go to the long putter because of nerves and so on and so forth. That's been the only hiccup in his game, and so he's just one of those great ball strikers.
Now, the broadcast is doing an excellent job giving the viewer a live projection of where their favorite player is forecasted to stand on the money list by the end of the week. There are a lot more bigger names in the mix down the leaderboard at the St. Jude that we'll get to a little later on. Tony Finau, Sahith Theegala, Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris. How about 2009 U.S. Open champ Lucas Glover?
Yes.
Back in the mix. Good to see him up there. We're going to break down everything you need to know about the playoffs with Golf Week editor Tim Schmidt here in the middle of the hour. 1-800-224-2004. Is the number, Charlie. How about a good friend? A word from our good friends over at Insperity.
Well, the best thing that I can do, and it's such a great pleasure to talk about a company that has established itself as one of the leading companies of the century. And since 1986, this company has grown to be a big force in the small business community. And their motto is you know, they want their businesses to succeed, so the communities to succeed. And this all comes from the philosophy of their chairman and owner, Paul Sarvati. And for a kid that grew up with very little except a great mind, and this is take care of your people. That's the name of his book. And if you want to open up the combination to success in business, buy this book, Take Care of Your People. This is an incredible look into how Paul Sarvati has built a $4 billion company. And it's an HR company. And he found that, you know, small businesses drive our world. And he wants to help them, and he's helped them, and he put together a team of professionals that really take care of their customers, and Paul takes care of them. It's taking care of everybody. So today, I pick it up and I read it, and there's so many good gems in here, and the strategies that you will learn on how Paul Sarvati was able to be the leader of four men that went and turned into 4,000. Think about that. And it's all because of their philosophy on how we should take care of people. We as a country, we don't do a very good job of it. There's so many people that need help. But take the time, go to, you know, wherever you buy your books, Take Care of People by Paul Sarvati. And you'll help run your business, and it'll help run your family, and it'll help run yourself. I can't say it enough.
When we come back, we will get into the PGA Tour winning the first battle in the war against LIV in a courtroom in San Jose, California. We'll get some sound from Rory and other player reactions on the matter. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. 1-800-224-2004 is the number. Let's move into what happened on Monday in San Jose, California courtroom as 11 members of the LIV Circus started the court war with the PGA Tour. Now, the premise of this first battle in the war was, you know, three members of the LIV Tour, Taylor Gooch, Hudson Swafford, and Matt Jones, were three players who were still ranked inside the top 125 and were seeking to get a restraining order from the judge to allow them to compete in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And that file for the restraining order was rejected on Monday.
Why? Wasn't it because that they had to prove that they were harmed and you know, it hurt their economic chance to making money when they had already signed an incredible amount of money with the contract with LIV? You know, rumors between $20 to $50 million. What are these guys thinking about?
Well, you know, we told listeners exactly why the LIV golfers would not win this first case last Saturday on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And the reason is very simple. Number one, if the PGA Tour was acting as a monopoly, and they gave this reason, how has LIV been able to sign five of the top 10 players at the top of the 2021 Player Impact Program money list? Now, remember, that program was developed to see, you know, who's making a real difference on the PGA Tour. And, Charlie, let's run down this list. Tiger Woods, he's staying on the PGA Tour. Right. Phil Mickelson, he's off to LIV. Rory McIlroy, staying. Jordan Spieth, staying on the PGA Tour. Bryson DeChambeau, jump ship to LIV. Justin Thomas, staying put. Dustin Johnson, he's heading to LIV. Brooks Koepka is heading to LIV. Number 9, John Rahm, is staying on the PGA Tour. And Bubba Watson was number 10 on that list and the latest player to flee to LIV. Now, that's 5 of that 10 out of that list that has gone to LIV. So the argument to be made that it's a monopoly is silly.
Yeah.
It really is.
And Brooks Koepka is the perfect guy for LIV. He had his moment in time, and he won 4 majors. Bam, bam, bam. Incredible. Then he got hurt. But his lifestyle, man, this is cool. And then he starts playing poorly. Here comes a $100 million deal.
No, it's really incredible because, you know, a year ago when you and I were talking, the two guys that were moving the needle were Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau.
Right.
And, you know, now that they're not playing well, you know, it doesn't seem like this Gen Z viewership that the LIV Tour is going after has necessarily followed them over there.
Right.
You know, they're gonna, at the end of the day, scores are what matter. Championships are what matter. Now, number two, as far as the reasoning is concerned, if the 11 members of the LIV circus were taking such a financial hit by missing the FedEx Cup playoffs and being suspended from the PGA Tour for the time being, what on earth do they have to say about the sum of money they put in their bank accounts before joining LIV? You know, fortunately for the PGA Tour, the judge was able to see right through the grotesque demands of the 11 LIV clowns, you know, that made the golf world believe that the grass was greener on the other side, but then wanted a piece of both cakes as they attempted to reap the benefits of the committed members of the PGA Tour.
Those are pretty good words, clowns.
I mean, that
clowns and circus.
You know, I say that, and people go, well, you know, maybe that's a little overboard. But if you go watch one of these LIV events, you know, there's a circus going on. Yeah. You know, there's clowns, and there's you know, they're tossing, you know, they're hitting pinatas and tossing around bowling pins.
You think they'll institute that at Augusta?
No. I think Fred Ridley, you know, that he's waiting. He's waiting. I think he's waiting to see what the official world golf rankings do. It might be another year. You know, this is a huge timeline. You know, we told you last week the LIV Tour, you know, they're requiring members to play 14 events. The PGA Tour requires 15, and there's no star player. The example you just gave, Brooks Koepka, is he going to play 29 events a year anymore?
No, he doesn't want to. He's going to be on his boat in Florida with his beautiful wife.
Sean, do you have the sound for Rory to go? This was Rory McIlroy's reaction on what happened in the first battle of the PGA Tour versus the LIV Tour.
I think where the resentment comes from the membership of this tour is the fact that they want to try to get their way back in here with no consequences. And, you know, anyone that's read the PGA Tour handbook or abided by the rules and regulations, you know, that would feel very unfair to them. From my vantage point, common sense prevailed, and I thought it was the right decision. And now that has happened, I think it just lets us focus on the important stuff, which is the golf, and we can all move forward and not sort of have... not have that sideshow going on for the next few weeks, which is nice. I mean, the thing that I would say, I certainly have a little more respect for the guys that haven't put their names to the suit. So, yeah, I mean, it's become a little more personal because of that.
So, Charlie, I'm not certain, you know, that friendships are being, you know, lost over this per se. You know, golf is still an individual sport. At the end of the day, you know, guys, when they get on the first tee, you know, it's about themselves. Now, we'll move away from the courtroom. This is not the end of the PGA Tour versus LIV Tour. The court case resolved on Monday was only the first battle. However, the lawyers that I have spoken to who are experienced in these antitrust and media rights litigations say this could take years to resolve, Charlie. Yeah. And the official World Golf Ranking won't make a decision on whether they get points until the LIV Tour is a organized tour for at least a year. I don't know if they're going to make it past 2 years, Charlie.
Well said. You've done your homework. You know what the legal entities of golf is all about. And then the four majors, they really control the destiny of this. What's Augusta going to do? It's a big ball of wax. But we've got one thing taken care of. Now we got to finish the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
And it's having a few of its problems show with these added, you know, point system that all of a sudden somebody who hadn't had a good year can leapfrog all the guys that have played, you know, so well. Scottie Scheffler, for example, he had his best time back in February, March, and April, but the guy that fascinates me is Rory, and he's taking responsibility of being on the board, but he's also, and you mentioned this earlier, and we don't look at it enough, is he was really hurt with the loss at the Open Championship.
Charlie, he said he did not pick up a club for 3 weeks, didn't pick up a club, didn't go to the gym, or didn't eat a vegetable for the weeks following his third place finish at the Open after starting that final round in Fife in the final group, and with that first major in 8 years in sight. Maybe I have to cut him a little break a little bit, but from the last 2 days that I watched him in Memphis, wow. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do the next 5 days come Delaware.
If you go back in Nicklaus's history of what he did after losing a gimme major, for example, the Battle of the Sun, 1977 at Turnberry, he had a three-shot lead with five holes to go. And Tom Watson turned the tables on him and beat him. And it was a devastating loss. And I know for a fact that night at dinner on that Sunday night, there was about 20 people at dinner, and Jack Nicklaus was the only guy that was, come on, people, it was just a loss. It's okay. Everybody was down and thought it was the end of the world. Who won the British Open in 1978?
Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, it's interesting.
See, so now challenge Rory.
But great winners handle losses as lessons.
Rory's got to pick himself up out of the mat and say, okay, I didn't win this past year, which was heartbreaking at St. Andrews. Let's win next year. We'll see what happens.
You know, he has to handle these losses as lessons. Let's not go off the deep end for 3 weeks. You know, not prep going into the playoffs. That's unheard of in any other sport. It's interesting you noted. You know, 78, Nicklaus at the Open. He won the Players that year as well, and we didn't see another player win the Players in the Open until this year for Cam Smith. And we're going to talk about him a little later. He's in the mix again, T5 at the FedEx St. Jude with the LIV rumors surrounding. So we'll get into all that. I mean, how about, you know, 1-800-224-2004 is the number. And don't forget, in about 15 minutes, we're going to have Golf Week's editor Tim Schmidt on the show to talk shop about everything in the world of golf and the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, looking down this leaderboard, in first is J.J. Spahn at 11-under, 62-67. Sepp Straka at T2. 64-66, but you know, we talked about it a lot today. if a guy like J.J. Spahn wins, who won the Byron earlier this year, he'll move from 25 to number 2 on the FedEx Cup standings. Sepp Straka would move from number 35 to number 10. So a lot of weight on the table. We're going to get more to that with Tim Schmidt on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes difference. Back after this.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome aboard here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. In case you missed the last two segments, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of the other networks of your choice. We're on all of them. And now we're going to head over to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in Golf Week's managing editor, Tim Schmidt. Tim, you're on with Charlie and I. Thanks for taking the time to join us this morning to go over a few topics as far as the world of golf is concerned. How are things in your world, my friend?
Well, hey, guys. Good to talk to you this morning. You know, I live here in Austin, and I have for about a decade, but I'm from Buffalo, and the Bills' first preseason game is today, so I'm a little nervous, but I'll be honest, with so much going on in the golf world here, it's just been a fascinating time to be part of this. I've been listening to a little of the show, and, you know, you guys bring up some great points about many of the flaws in the systems, and there's just so much to dig into, isn't there?
So much to get into today, Tim, and yeah, you know, with football, you know, it's you know, starting very soon. You know, hopefully the Bills don't start Josh Allen today. You know, I saw the Jets started Zach Wilson yesterday, and now he has a left knee injury, could be out for the year. What a disaster! But let's get to the golf here. What a crazy year that it has been in the world of golf. And I would love to start by stressing the good. You know, we have new young champions in Scottie Scheffler, Cam Smith, and Justin Thomas, you know, back in the winner's circle. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick finally broke through on U.S. soil. 20-year-old Tom Kim goes from unheard of to a winner on the PGA Tour in 5 weeks. And the list of remarkable moments that we will look back on in 2022 goes on. But there's also this new world, this new space in the game called the LIV Tour that has – you know, made it clear that they're here to stay. Now, Tim, how do you currently view the state of golf as it stands today on August 13th, 2022?
You know, I have kind of an interesting look at all this because I really try to, as I stress to our guys, our columnist Eamon Lynch is, you know, very opinionated about this. He feels that the folks who defected to live are doing a disservice to the game, et cetera, et cetera. But as I stress to my reporters, it's our job to be objective about this. When golf is the story, as has been the case with LIV sometimes, we need to make sure that we stay on top of that. And what I find fascinating about this is this. Right now, the players, the key players, and I don't mean the PGA Tour or LIV players, I mean all the characters involved in this play right now, all come off kind of in a bad light. And to be honest with you, it's all across the board. I guess you could say Rory is one of the few bright lights, but even he now is kind of getting backlash from folks who are LIV, you know, positive LIV folks and folks who are backing that tour. But almost all of the individual players, characters in this play kind of come off in a bad light. Look, all of a sudden the PGA Tour finds a bunch of money that it didn't have before and is going to offer it up for players. Well, where was that before this whole thing went down? The guys that LIV, you know, kind of just keep targeting players, and then when they get a player, they cast aside an old one. They're talking about potential systems, you know, for that, but it just also has a bad feel to it. The players who make the jump to LIV, I mean, you know, Pat Perez says 1 week that he hates this and how horrible Phil is for doing it, and then 6 weeks later, he takes $40 million and comes running. So everybody kind of comes across as poorly in this. However, more people are talking about the game of golf than I think ever before. And I find it absolutely just insane. We had our biggest 2 months in the history of Golf Week in terms of digital traffic over the last 2 months. So if we can find good from this, that doesn't mean I think that what the folks are doing with Liv is positive, but they are finding flaws in the PGA Tour. They're, like you guys said before, you brought up Sepp Straka, who would jump all the way up the rankings if he wins this thing. He missed six straight cuts coming into this week. I mean, this is a guy who's been playing terrible golf, and all of a sudden could be at the top of the FedEx Cup standings come next week. As we continue down this road, if we can funnel this and channel this energy into the right places, I think it helps make the game better overall. But right now, all the key characters involved kind of come off in a bad light.
And this is Tim Schmidt, editor of Golf Week, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line here on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map Radio Network. And let's get into this ever-evolving format of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Tim, I was telling Charlie earlier, if number 42 Denny McCarthy wins his first PGA Tour event this week, he will move all the way up to number 2 on the FedEx Cup points list with 2 events remaining. Nothing to take away from Denny McCarthy. He's made 20 of 27 cuts. He's had, I think, 5 top 10 finishes this year. But do you feel like maybe the first 2 events of the FedEx Cup playoffs hold too much weight? Or is this what it takes to get the average sports fan interested in the FedEx Cup playoffs?
Well, look, the one of our biggest posts on golfweek.com each week is the Who Missed the Cut post that we do every Friday night. And with the guys who missed the cut last night, you could start a tour that would rival Liv or be better than Liv with Scotty and Rory and a whole bunch of other folks, Jordan Spieth. The fact that, you know, and I heard a little bit on this before of you guys talking about this. This is not single elimination like the NFL. This is more like the basketball playoffs that you referenced. And I feel like they still have to keep tweaking because this is not what fans at the end of the day want. That's one of the loopholes that Liv is exposing, is the fact that while it's great that we want players to continue to play for their money and make sure that they're earning their money rather than just resting on their laurels, at the end of the day, you still want to have, as you do with the Dell match play, where they've tweaked it over the years so that the good players can lose in the first round, but they're in pool play and they're not eliminated. So hopefully at the end of the day, you still get some of the best players in those final few rounds for television's sake. I think that's the same case here. I mean, you've got to have the biggest names, and not only the biggest names, the fringe guys who people still love in that mix, because when we start to get down to players who really just don't draw the same passion from fans, you're going to start losing ratings, you're going to start losing interest. And so I think they just need to keep tweaking this thing. I don't think it's where it has to be yet.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tim. This is Charlie Epps, and I'm a PGA golf professional and been in the game for many, many years. And all part of what's happening is all our fault, the PGA golf professional. And it's because we're great teachers. Our organization, we've got 29,000 golf pros promoting the game, growing the game. And then we have to really look at the college programs have created a new venue to where all of these kids, our high school program for football here in Houston, we had more kids go out for golf than we did for football. So we've grown the game. This new Live and this is going to give more space for everybody to play. We're going to grow and be like the NFL. All of a sudden, you know, they went from 18 teams to 36 teams. The NFL has grown tremendously as a business because of great programs in the NCAA. And we have more kids wanting to be professional athletes. I think we got to look at the good side of all this is we're going to create more jobs for kids if we can have, you know, sponsorship dollars to play golf. And to, you know, my dad worked in an automobile plant for 42 years. He's always told me, he said, Chuck, you've never had a real job. I play, you know, I go to the golf club every day for work. And so the whole sport is evolving. It's just like, and I was going to ask you a question, and you answered it. This has been the best two months for Golf World in what you guys do. So that we're growing and we're going a little too fast, but it's all fun and we can't take it too seriously because this is entertainment, this is sports, and you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
But Charlie, you bring up a really interesting point about the PGA of America pros. And by the way, I respect the job that those folks do. And I love the fact that there, for example, I went out to the PGA of America Professional Championship out here in Austin last year because I feel like that's one of the great parts about this game. But what Liv is exposing is the fractured nature of the PGA of America, the USGA, the PGA Tour, the Masters, those four have never been able to see eye to eye on everything before. And that's where Liv has found a niche in other sports. Look, you can try to challenge any of the major league sports. You know, if you want to go after Roger Goodell and the NFL, good luck. But they are so pulled together as owners and as the commissioners and, you know, with their rights deals. What you're seeing in college football is similar to what's happening with Liv. There has been no solid structure in place for this sport, and it's always been a gentleman's agreement between the four entities, the four major entities, and Liv came in and said, you know what, we're going to kind of skirt all this, and unless those four kind of find a way to bond together, Liv is going to do some damage before this thing leaves.
Well, Liv found that they needed some way to look at their product and get into a world that will make them, you know, forget what transpired those days in you know their countries where they killed people and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in an angry world. I've been to Gettysburg, I've been to Normandy, I've been to Pearl Harbor, at Korea, and we've killed a lot of people because of dumb reasons, and so. We forgive and forget. You know what? You know, my dad could not understand why I would drive a Japanese car because, you know, he said, Chuck, if you'd have been in the World War II, you would have understood, or a German car. But we forgive as society because we end up telling good stories and the Saudis and all that. They're looking for redemption. They're looking to make their product and what they do. You know, they want everybody to come to their countries and visit them, and they're good guys, and they're using golf to try to amend those bad transgressions to please forgive me and let's move on.
Boy, I'll tell you what, sounds like we have more than just an hour. We could talk about this all day, but I completely agree. And if you start picking at the threads of many of the major corporations and folks, there's all kinds of different loopholes that you can start to open. But I will say this, at the end of this thing, I just hope we channel all this energy that's around the game, much like Tiger Woods 25 years ago, when, you know, we start building golf courses, we start doing all this great stuff around the game. I hope we maintain this momentum that's come with this energy and also figure out ways to use it rather than have it destroy sections of the game.
I agree with you 100%. It's good times, and we're all being challenged, and we got to have good leaders work all this out, and we'll get there.
Tim, it was so great to hear your voice today. Thanks for taking some time to join us. That's Tim Schmidt, editor of Golf Week. And, hey, have a great rest of the season. Are you going to be at the next two events, Delaware and Eastlake?
I will not be because we've got so many things on the docket here. And as Charlie said before, my friends all tell me, look, is that really a job you have? You sit around and watch golf all day. So I'm just going to be watching from here in Round Rock for the next few weeks. But I'll be watching every moment as I am right now.
We're going to call you real soon. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks,
Tim.
Take it
easy, guys. Always great to talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, on the other side, we'll make a couple picks for the FedEx St. Jude Championship right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network and ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Time to make our picks for the FedEx St. Jude Championship, first week of the playoffs here. Next week they'll go to Delaware, and then the Tour Championship will end at Eastlake in Georgia in 2 weeks' time. J.J. Spahn, the 2022 Byron Nelson winner, leads the way at 11-under after starting 62-67. Sepp Straka and Troy Merritt in a tie for second. Denny McCarthy in solo fourth at 9-under. And then we get to some of the greater names at tied for fifth, which is Cam Smith, Tony Finau, and Brian Harman, all tied for fifth. And then in a tie for ninth is Adam Scott and your man Emiliano Grillo.
Yes, it's, you know, Nick Faldo made an interesting pick a couple weeks ago before he left CBS seat at next to Jim Nantz. That he picked Tony Finau to come out of nowhere. And you would think, in looking at this leaderboard, you got to go with the guys with the pedigrees. And really, real quick, you got Tony Finau, you got Smith, you know, Adam Scott. So those guys, you got to give the benefit of the doubt that they're going to shoot 64. I mean, if Cameron Smith shoots 64 the last day of the British Open, what the hell is he going to do in the first round of a playoff? He'll get hot again, won't you think? So that's
Cam Smith's going to be my pick.
Okay, very good.
And Charlie, when you look at TPC Southwind, you know, ninth narrowest fairways on the PGA Tour and fourth smallest greens. That, to me, sets up so well for Cam Smith. I worry about Tony Finau, you know, when the parameters shrink on Sunday. You know, I think Cam Smith will have the advantage.
I would – that's good reasoning, but you're wrong. No, I'm going to hang with Tony Finau to win three in a row.
I like that. Would, three of the last four.
I still like his comment about he just won $1 million purse and he had his family there, and he said, well, that's not enough money to feed my family.
He's got to feed all those kids.
Just tongue-in-cheek.
And he's got four of them. No, he's a great guy. He's a great champion, very patient. It's going to be a great weekend in Memphis. Charlie, thank you so much. Sean Mapes on the ones and twos. You do a phenomenal job on a week-in, week-out basis. Unbelievable. Let's go have a great weekend, Charlie.
You got it.
Thanks to our friends at Insperity, and we'll see you next Saturday. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Cheers.